Strange Tales.
RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. Strange Tales, thanks for joining me once again. We'll hear this week from Favorite Story, a series that debuted in June of 1946 over NBC stations, produced 156 episodes before it was off the air in 1949. Our story today is based on a short story by Arthur Quiller Couch titled The Roll Call of the Reef. This one aired June 18th, 1949.
Most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. The southwest corner of England is as romantic a spot as any you can find. It was here, along the rocky Cornish coast, that King Arthur presided over his round table, from which his knights went forth in search of honor, romantic conquest, and even the Holy Grail itself, where Tristan and Isolde loved and sadly died, leaving their story to immortal legend. This same wild shore of England is the first glimpse of the old world to travelers from America. This, too, was the setting of Gilbert and Sullivan's Pirates of Penzance. And it was here, as we were going to St. Ives, that we met the man with seven wives. Our favorite story for this week has nothing to do with the old nursery rhyme, however, but this same rugged, wild countryside for its setting. It's a ghost story, in fact, told by the famous Englishman Sir Arthur T. Quiller Couch, who signed his writings with the single letter Q. A tale about the bluff but friendly people who lived in this faraway corner of the British Isles. It's called The Roll Call of the Reef. And the famous American novelist, Mr. McKinley Cantor, chose this as his favorite story. Now we'll go into this little stone and thatch hut, warm ourselves by the fire, and listen to the story the quarryman has to tell us about the strange and mysterious things that happened to his father.
I didn't see it, understand? I wasn't there. I wasn't born yet. But my father saw it from beginning to end. It was January of the year 9. Napoleon was cock of the roost across the channel. And our brave English boys were fighting and dying to crush the tyrant emperor. And a wind blowed up the like of which no man before or since has ever seen. My father and mother was living here, right here, in this very cottage.
'Tis the end of the world.
Oh, Mother, it is but the wind, and I pity any sailors who are out in the channel tonight.
But where are you going, Matthew?
Out by the point to see if the fence is blown away.
It is not even daylight yet.
I'll take my lantern.
And leave me here alone?
You'll be safe here in the cottage, Mother. What can harm you here?
Be careful, Matthew. Be careful.
My father didn't reckon the violence of the storm. He'd not gone 20 paces down the path when his lantern was blown clean out of his hand. Black as the pit it was. No moon. And the clouds so low a man could fair reach up and touch him with his hand. Then, of a sudden, he saw the sky was filled with a great bluish light. And he was sure the end of the world had come. He lifted his head and saw a sailing ship, a man-o-war, driving stern foremost toward the reef. She was afire, and he could see the men clinging to the wreck. And in the ghastly, bluish light, they looked like the ghosts they soon would be. They fired a cannon to summon help, perhaps. But what could any man do to help those poor lads tossing on the rocks of Manico Reef? Then he heard the strangest sound of all. A trumpet. From on board that doomed ship, a trumpeter playing "God Save the King." The notes came in little bursts, like a bird rising against the wind, faint and far off because of the force of the gale. My father got back to his cottage and found a neighbor there.
A wreck! A wreck!
Aye, a wreck. I've seen it.
So have we.
We brought one of the survivors to your cottage, ma'am.
You're to try to stir the life back into him, the poor boy.
It is a miracle. But how could you get a survivor here so fast?
The ship went aground an hour ago at Bigsbury Bay.
But the wreck I seen was on Manico Reef. Not 5 minutes ago she struck the rocks.
Who wrecks this night?
Lord save the boys on Manico Reef.
There's a faint chance indeed they'll ever get to shore with warm blood in their veins.
Wrecks there were, right enough. Both of them, troop ships of His Majesty King George. Boys who'd fought the good fight against Napoleon in the Battle of Coruña. But all of them died. Within sight of the hills of home. All but two. And my mother, who is a good woman, God rest her soul, took them both into this cottage and tried to nurse them back to health.
Oh. And how do you feel this morning, boy?
I don't know. Where is this? Why am I here? Where's the ship? Where?
Lie down. Lie back, boy. You're weak. You've been through a terrible shipwreck.
Shipwreck?
Yes. Your vessel went aground 3 weeks ago at Bigsbury Bay. And you've been tossing here in a fever ever since.
What about my shipmates? Grover and Buckingham. Are they all right?
You're the only one that lived, my boy.
Oh.
They all died and are buried in Gunner's Meadow. Such bodies as could be found.
I pray they'll rest in peace. I wish I could have gone with them.
Oh, no, no.
I'm alone. My drum.
Your drum?
Was it washed away in the storm?
No, laddie. We found your drum tied tight to your waist with a length of stout rope. It's here, above the fireplace, where we hung it to dry the salt water out of it.
Could you bring it to me, please?
If it'll make you feel better. I think I can reach it. Yes. I'm afraid it's the worse for the wear, boy, but here's your drum.
My drum. My good old drum. It makes me feel better just to touch it again.
Quiet now. You'll wake up our friend in the other bed.
Who is he?
A fine, long lad from the Queen's Hussars. He was shipwrecked the same night as you, off Manico Reef. And he was the only man left alive from his ship. A trumpeter he is. And my husband Matthew says he heard him playing "God Save the King" as the ship went down.
A trumpeter.
Aye. But he was farther gone than you were, laddie. And his lips haven't yet moved except to make a groan.
Poor fellow.
But he'll be fit some fine day soon. And I'll wager you make some fine music together. Him on the bugle and you on your drum.
We can. I'll wager we can.
Of course you can, laddie. And oh, it will be glorious to hear.
How are you feeling this morning, Bugler?
Better, drummer boy, much better. I'll be out marching alongside you as soon as this pain goes out of my head.
Did you fight in the Peninsular War?
All the way to Coruña.
You were at the Battle of Coruña?
Aye. With Napoleon Fox's heart on our heels.
So was I.
What regiment?
Marines. And you?
I'm a cavalryman, sir. The 7th Light Dragoon.
The Queen's own.
You fought well.
The rear guard action. Aye. We sent many a musket ball close to the Emperor Napoleon's three-cornered hat.
So did we. And we'll beat him yet.
That we will, lad. That we will. Though it makes me sad to think of all the boys, good lads and good friends of mine, who've died to teach Napoleon courtesy.
It makes me sad, Bugler, when I think of all my friends who went through the war with me and drowned on the reef.
And my friends, too. Did they get a Christian burial?
The townsfolk here are good people. They laid him to rest in Gunner's Meadow, hard by Manacle Reef, where so many of them died.
But they lie without military honors, I wager.
That's true.
As soon as I'm strong enough, boy, I shall put on my regimentals, too. We'll march down to Gunner's Meadow. You with your drum, and me with my bugle. And we'll sound a tattoo over the graves of our fellows. We'll sound a tattoo. Sound it.
Do you think they sleep well, Bugler?
They died well. Therefore, they sleep well. All they ask is for us to sound taps above their heads. Are you ready, drummer boy?
I am ready, Bugler. Think they heard us?
They heard us. Sure enough.
I don't think I shall ever want to play this drum again.
Nor I this bugle.
I have an idea. We'll lock them together.
Lock them?
Yes, with a padlock. Bolt them together, drum and bugle, as a symbol of our friendship. Shall we do it?
Aye. It's a fine idea.
I have a padlock. One that I got from a glass worker in Lisbon. It is washed ashore in my sea chest, and it works like this. There are 6 rings around the lock, each with every letter of the alphabet. To set the lock, you have but to spell out a word of 6 letters with the ring and close it tight. And it cannot be opened until the 6 rings are set to spell the same word again.
Why? But what shall the word be, drummer boy?
We were both in the Battle of Colonia. Let that be the word which will lock your bugle to my drum.
That's 7 letters, not 6.
We won't double the end. Spell it C-O-R-U-N-A. And it shall remain a secret forever. Between the two of us.
Here is the drum, and here is the bugle. The brass of it turned green with the salt air. Oh, no need to spin the rings on that padlock, sir. The letters C-O-R-U-N-A are no longer the combination which opens the lock. And the only man who knows the combination is now sleeping 6 feet beneath the sod. And I pray that, in my lifetime at least, no one will awaken him.
Call of the Reef by Sir Arthur Quiller Couch, the favorite story choice of Mr. McKinley Cantor, who wrote the Academy Award-winning Best Years of Our Lives. Here's Act Two. The old quarry
ferryman continues to tell us the story of the drum and bugle, padlocked together and hanging above his mantelpiece. As summer came on, the little drummer boy grew well and strong again. But the bugler seemed to be sick in the head somehow. He couldn't remember things. He'd get lost when he went into town to buy his tobacco. And they'd have to send little Johnny Christian, the drummer boy, to bring him back home. But they were great friends, drummer and trumpeter. Great friends.
What's the matter with you today, drummer boy? You're looking sad.
I'll have to be leaving you, bugler.
Leave? But why?
There's still a war to be fought. We still have to finish Napoleon, sir.
Napoleon? Who is Napoleon?
Have you forgot, bugler? Well, no matter. You fought the good fight against Napoleon. And I promise he'll never forget you. Or any of the British who fought him at Coruña.
Coruña? That's the combination on the padlock.
Right, bugler. But soft. That's a secret between us two.
Aye. It's our secret, drummer boy. Between us two.
Now I'm going to Plymouth at the sunrise to report back to my company.
And I'm going with you.
No, bugler. It's best you stay here and rest. Look after our friends out there on Gunner's Meadow.
We couldn't forget them, drummer. Could we?
No. And if you ever wonder about your old friend, the drummer boy, all you must do is look above the mantelpiece. And when you see your bugle and my drum, you'll know our friendship is just as strong as the lock that holds them two together.
I'll miss you, drummer boy.
And I'll miss you, old friend. But we've got to beat the little corporal. And we'll finish the job this time.
It was a sad parting, my father said, when the little drummer boy took his leave from this house. The tall trumpeter stood straight as a ramrod, all 6'6" of them, and held a salute until the lad was out of sight around the bend of the hill. The next month, my father received a letter of thanks from John Christian, drummer, His Majesty's Marines. The boy said he was shipping overseas to France, and to remember him to his friend, the trumpeter. Father showed the letter to the poor old fellow. Half out of his head he was now. He just stared at the paper and then at his bugle up there on the wall for hours at a time. Now the years went by, and no more was heard of the drummer boy. But about 3 o'clock in the morning, April 14th of the year 14, my father heard a fearful knocking at the door.
Let's be in.
Who is it? Who is there?
Friend, John Christian, drummer boy. Remember me?
Remember you? My lad, how could we ever...
What my father saw, standing in the doorframe in the darkness, nearly turned his hair gray with fright. For there was the drummer boy, right enough, grown a bit taller, perhaps. His face was the color of wood ashes, and his uniform all splotched with blood on the front. Not so much as hello did the drummer say, but marched straight past my father as if he wasn't there. He stepped up to the elbow chair and gazed at the old cavalryman who was dozing.
Trumpeter, trumpeter, are you one with me?
And the trumpeter just lifted the lids of his eyes and answered,
how should I not be one with you, drummer boy? Drummer boy. The men are patient. Till you come, I count. While you march, I mark time. Until the discharge comes.
The discharge has come tonight. And the word is Coruña no longer. We must unhitch your bugle and my drum, old friend. For there's work to be done this night.
There they hang together above the fireplace where you left them, drummer boy.
I must fetch them down. Ah, now we twist the brass rings to spell out C-O-R-U-N-A. There you are, my friend. Take your bugle.
Aye.
And I have my drum. Oh, it is good to feel the weight of it on my knee again. Matthew.
Yes. Yes, drummer boy.
We'll need you with us, too, for this night's work. We'll need the light of your lantern. Now come. Follow me.
And they marched out, single file, into the night. Drummer boy, the trumpeter, and my father, bearing a lantern. Straight to the brow of the hill by Gunner's Meadow they marched. In the moonlight, a man could just make out the crosses, row on row, stretching across the meadow. All shipmates of these two, who had drowned on the reef 5 years before.
Sail, halt! Trumpeter, sound reveille. They will come. They will come. But I must give them a beat to march by. Oh!
And while the drum beat, my father clung to a blasted tree stump and held his breath. And there came up out of the sea and out of the darkness a troop of many men, horse and foot, and formed up among the graves. Brown marines and pale hussars riding their horses, all lean and shadowy. There was no sound, no clatter of hoofs, only a black shadow lying like a pool about the feet of all. At last, they were all assembled.
Men of His Majesty's Marines, attention!
Men of the Seventh Hussars, the Queen's Own,
Trumpeter, call the roll.
Troop, Sergeant Major, Thomas Irons.
Troop, Sergeant Major Thomas Irons, how is it with you?
How should it be with me? I stole in my lifetime, and I knifed a man once in a quarrel, but I died as a man should. God save me.
Call the next man.
So the trumpeter and the drummer went down the line, hailing up their dead shipmates. Each man stepped forward when his name was called, each staring ahead of him with dull eyes, answering up in a thin, weary voice that sounded from the hollow of the grave. And at last, my father says, the roll call was completed.
All present and accounted for, to them apart.
It is well. God save the king.
My father picked up his lantern, and as he did so, he saw the ranks of the dead men waver and fade back into the dark, like the breath fading off a window pane. And holding the lantern up high, he led the way back to his cottage. The drummer and the trumpeter marching close behind him.
Trumpeter, this work is done. And we shall lock your bugle and my drum together, as they were before. But the word is no longer Coruña. It is Bayonne.
Bayonne, Dermabar.
But for the combination on this lock, we shall spell it B A Y O N E. There. Now, let them hang together above the fireplace forever as the symbol of our friendship.
The symbol of our friendship.
Thank you, good Matthew, for your help to us this night.
Aye.
We must leave you now. Farewell.
Farewell. Wait.
Matthew. Matthew. Come quickly.
What? What's the matter, Mother?
Oh, our poor friend, the trumpeter.
I just saw him walk out the door.
No. There he sits in the elbow chair. And he's dead, Matthew. He's dead.
Stay a moment. It's not the end of the story. 3 days later, after the bugler had been laid to rest, my father was in town and chanced to meet Parson Kendall in the street.
Good day to you, Matthew. Have you heard the good news?
News?
We've won a great victory at Bayonne.
Bayonne?
When? 3 days ago. The news just reached here. Pray, why do you look that way, Matthew?
The casualty lists. We must see the casualty lists.
Together, my father and the parson looked through the lists of those who had died at Bayonne. And there, Near the top was the name...
John Christian, drummer, 38th Marines. Watson, you must come with me at once to my cottage.
There, my father took down from the hook above the fireplace the drum and trumpet. Fearfully, he spun the rings to spell out the... A... Y... O... N...
He left out one N, Parson. That I remember. E...
Does it open? Lord in heaven, preserve us. Matthew, I will set the lock again on a holy word known only to me. And you may leave the drum and bugle fastened together as they had wished it.
And there they hang to this very day, drum and bugle and lock. Parson Kendall is dead. The storyteller is dead. And dead is the secret that can never separate trumpet and drum. They hang together, so, above the fireplace, locked together like the handshake of two fine men, a bugler and a drummer boy. God save the king. Have the strange tale of the roll call of the reef, as related by Sir Arthur Quilla Couch. Ed Begley was the quarryman who told the story, and McKinley Cantor chose it as his favorite. I'll return in a moment with a word about next week's favorite story. Earning a million gold pieces. This literary inflation, so to speak, is the favorite story of George Abbott, the famous theatrical producer. His choice is The Gambler by Dostoevsky. As exciting a tale as we've ever offered on this half hour. We hope you'll be listening.
That's the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Favorite Story, past episodes of Strange Tales, all the other Relic Radio podcasts, and our Shoutcast stream, all at RelicRadio.com. And as always, if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, you can do so by donating through the website. We've got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts. Your support is how this is all made possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next week with a story from Suspense on another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.